Welcome to the Nerd Alternative Podcast, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. I am your host, Levi, because I feel like I never introduce myself. So, yes.
No, you don't, you know.
I don't, do I? No. I am your host.
This is Levi.
And with me today, we have the illustrious...
Hassan.
I didn't know if that was meant to be me.
I purposely did that just to wait to see who was going to take it.
I'll take it.
I don't have any confidence.
And we have Ram, I guess.
The radiant.
Thanks. Thank you. Hi.
I mean, when you put me on the spot to think of an adjective, it was never going to come out. But yes, today we are here with a review of everyone's favorite superhero television show, Invincible.
Yay!
It is good stuff. But before we do that, as you know, we must reach... Well, we're not going to reach too deep into the corners of nerddom. I guess we'll put half of our finger length into the corners of the nerddom today, not the whole arm, and pull out some news for you. I'm going to let Ram... Sorry, guys. I'm feeling really kind of professional today. Not professional, but I don't know.
Very news kind of... with RP, is it? Is that what it's called? The voice?
Oh, yeah. Received pronunciation.
Perhaps that is it. I'm feeling fruity today, guys. I'm feeling quirky. I'm going to be all over the place, and I don't know why.
On the news today.
I haven't even had any caffeine apart from my one coffee this morning. But yes, news, Ram, take us to the Oscars. Let's go.
Over there. I've always wanted to be a news reporter, you know, but I'm not going to do a news reporter voice. Anyway.
Do it.
So this year, the Oscars was not Oscars so white. It was Oscars more diverse. Oscar's not so white. So there was quite like a diverse nominee list, and I think usually like I'm quite skeptical when the nominees come out because it's very easy to just be like, yeah, let's nominate this token person. But the winners, you know, broke some boundaries, not boundaries. I don't know. Achieved
new thresholds. New thresholds.
There you go. So Nomadland won Best Picture, and Chloe Zhao also won Best Director, making her the first Asian woman to win a director Oscar, and also, I guess, the first woman of color. Yoo Jung-yoon also won Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress for Minari, which is extra cool, actually, because she's like a Korean woman, like not even like a Korean American woman. And there was a bit of, well, actually I won't get into that, so it doesn't matter. And then Daniel Kaluuya, of course, won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. And he was the first Black British person to win an Oscar. So
yeah, he was really good in One Night in Miami.
Nope, wrong movie.
Are you sure? Are you sure he wasn't?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
That black guy?
That was Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh my days. It's good. And you know what? Especially on the Daniel Kaluuya vibe, just love to see that guy winning. You know, like
absolutely.
He just comes across as such just like a humble, genuine Black British man. Like he just literally seems like that guy you'd work with, or that guy that you'd just be in the shop next to you or something. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's your mate Dan is the vibe,
yeah.
I get.
Yeah. Literally your affable mate Dan. Like, I'm a big fan of Daniel Kaluuya.
I can't wait to see where he will go in the future, because I realized actually, like, he's more than an actor, he's a storyteller, and he's a really good one. Like, I watched a short piece that he wrote and directed the other day, and it was really good. But anyway. The next piece of news,
to the world of Olympics.
The International Olympic Committee have launched an Olympic virtual series this year, which includes esports and virtual sports.
Hell yes.
Kind of means that maybe one day we could see like esports in the actual Olympics, because it does seem like they're really embracing, I guess, particularly with the fact that everyone's been like indoors and stuff, they are kind of embracing. And, you know, pushing out the boat for what should be included in these kind of competitions, which is great because, you know, like, I've never understood why pool is a sport, but...
Or darts.
The original esport.
Yeah, or darts or, like, any of that stuff. So I'm like, if you're going to include that, I feel like you might as well just include, like, gaming.
I feel like at this point as well, with how big esports has become, it's impossible for them to ignore it. Like, it's a global sensation.
My question is, though, what game is going
to be... Mario Kart.
Oh, my days. Imagine, like... Imagine.
No hesitation.
I'm just curious as to, like... I'm like, imagine people playing the Olympics at the Olympics. That'd be so weird. Just like, I don't know if there's an Olympics. I hope it's not Mario and Sonic.
Could you imagine a Team GB uniform wearing team playing CSGO in the Olympics?
That's
how insane. Oh my God.
I couldn't even begin to imagine. I am interested to see if they do add esports, what games it is.
Imagine getting 360 no scoped in the Olympics.
Oh, apparently, apparently COD's getting cancelled this year.
Yeah, there's no COD this year. That's big.
Have you got anything to add about the Olympics, Ram? Sorry.
No, that's it.
Okay. Anyway, let's move on, because that was a very candid news piece. Game of Thrones. Do we yawn?
Yawn.
But yes, the House of Dragon production has started. That's the Targaryen one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other one even still going ahead? The Andals and the...
I'm pretty sure a lot of them have been cancelled, but because there were so many that they were going to do, I'm not sure which ones have been cancelled. I don't know.
Just kind of sounds similar to DC when they announce all these crazy films. They're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Still waiting for a Flash film, but yeah.
Do you think they had like a Fall Guy competition where like the new franchise had to like fight their way through, and it was House of Dragons that won?
Takeshi's Castle.
I mean, that's probably
deal.
A better, yeah. I, the casting list was... I didn't realize Matt Smith was in it.
Matt Smith, he'd be popping up.
Yeah,
places.
He really he was in The Crown as well.
Yeah,
he's really good. He's a really good actor.
He was in His House, remember? He was.
Yeah.
He is a good actor. He's top quality. I don't care, I'll be honest with you. Like, I feel like even outside of the series, season 8 or 7 or 6, 7, 8, whoever you ask, I feel like overall I got a complete story from Thrones.
Yeah, I feel like the time has gone. Yeah. Like, so we don't really... I feel like if it maybe they were happening at the same time, or if the series maybe had ended on like a really, really good high, I think that probably would have converted me a little bit to be like, okay, like, it's kind of gone, but like, I'm curious to see what's going to happen next. But I'm kind of like...
Yeah, me personally, like, and I know this would be very personal to people, but I just wasn't that... I was curious, but I wasn't that interested in the Targaryen dynasty and like, for me to be like, oh, I really want to see what happens there. Like, it's just whatever. Might watch
There's
it.
There's nothing that a Google won't. Didn't satisfy, literally.
Yeah. I feel like there is an audience for this, and like, if you're that audience, like, fill your boots. But like, just not us, I guess.
Yeah, but you know, for that audience, it's still happening, guys. You can relax. But yeah, let's move on to Disney. The House of Mouse, they dropped this phase 4, what do they call it, like a scissor reel? I don't know what to call it. I'd say a trailer, but 95% of that trailer was just like
it was the hits.
So good.
And then they just decided to throw in some random Eternals footage. Like, that was really like out of pocket for me. I had to pause it and go back. I was like, have I seen this? You know, when you go back and you like search trailers to be like, is this old or new? And that was cool. So I had some Eternal switch.
Honestly, I've kind of like at this point just like mushed it all together. So I had to go back and watch it again, where I was like, oh, this is sick. Sick. Like, I'm super excited for this.
I mean, that trailer did a good job of sort of like hyping me up without actually hype, without saying anything. It was just like, Marvel!
That's how addicted you are to the MCU now. It was
so bad. It was actually like, Marvel, MCU, yeah! And you're just like, yeah! Behind the little screen. Like,
I feel like I don't want to watch trailers anymore, though. Like, I think I'm just going to start to watch stuff when it comes out.
I agree.
Was cool to know the names and all that kind of stuff, because, like, for example, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, like, what does that mean?
Yeah, that is a bit random. I mean, I agree with you. I'm at a stage now where I can do like one trailer, like a reveal trailer, and then I kind of just don't check any other ones really. until a launch trailer. I do love a launch trailer, I can't lie.
Man, I watch trailers for you guys because, like, we're doing this pod. Like, it's just like, I want to know it's being released. I want to know when it's out. And then I'm like, I'm in, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, so what was announced that was kind of new? Apart, we had Wakanda Forever. I feel like that was
Fantastic Four.
That was teased very subtly, but I feel like they've done that before with Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I feel like they have.
No X-Men news, so that's very sad for me. Oh, we had I forget the Marvel one. Was it
Hannibal Lecter?
The Marvels?
Oh, the Marvels.
Yeah. Hannibal. Sorry, I was just because I was doing the yeah.
Silence. Hello, Clarice.
Silence of the Lambs thingy. Yeah. What did you say, Ram? What was it called?
Yeah, the Marvels. The Marvels.
Yes. That looks sick.
We had the Marvels. We had Wakanda Forever. We had Quantumania. Obviously, the Multiversal Madness. We had some neat Eternals footage. Very out of context, but you know, I think what I got from the reel was that they're very much going to lean into their own thing, and we're definitely getting a new. Like, we're going to get a lot of new kind of vibes from these films, if you know what I'm saying. Mm. Similar to kind of what we kind of saw a bit from, like, WandaVision. And, like, obviously the films have always kind of had their...
Actual colour.
Yeah. Like, obviously the films have had their kind of flavours, but I think we're going to get... I think it's going to... This might sound like a bad thing, but I feel like it's going to be a bit harder to watch every Marvel film, if that makes sense. In a sense, in the same way you can't read every Marvel comic.
Yeah. Oh, by scale, just by pure scale,
or more just like there might be something that is very sci-fi heavy. Do you know what I mean? It might lean all the way into the mysticism kind of thing, as opposed to, like, I feel like this is just my opinion though, but like I think that previous phases can kind of like dip their toes in certain genres, but they still kind of always feel just like a MCU branded seal of approval, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I just think it's going to be a bit more diverse in the type of content we're getting in the future, which I'm looking forward to.
I'm so in. Like, the more weird, the better for me. Like, you guys know the kind of games and like the movies and that kind of stuff I watch. I'm like, Marvel, get real weird with it. I'm super in.
No,
I'm just glad so much is coming out on my birthday, because then I can lord it over my birthday. Because this is what I do every year. I'm like, well, if January is so cool, then why don't you get any MCU movies? And he's like,
I mean, springtime is like the time. Spring and summer. But yes.
And December. Christmas.
And oh yeah, that's true. And last but not least, thought we'd briefly let all the people them know, all the blurs, that Yasuke, Yasan, the Black Boltzmann, the anime Yasuke is out on Netflix now. We're not going to review it today. We might review it later. P.S. Rem doesn't like it.
So far, meh. Only because it's 6 episodes, I have to fight a lot of people, because some people were telling me that it was so good. Actually, it was Troy who was telling me it was so good, and I'm like,
let's just at our buddy Troy.
Never opinion ever again, because this was rubbish. I was all like, yeah, I'm going to watch it next weekend. And he was like, no, you have to watch it now because it's... Okay.
Watch it now. I mean, I feel like Hassan's the only one that's actually watched all of it. I'm only 2 episodes.
Yeah, it might get better.
I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, my God. Never mind.
You guys just assume I watch everything. And I'm not going to rock that boat.
I've seen 2 episodes. And like Ram said, it's kind of... It's fine so far. I'm intrigued to watch more, but it does feel like I'm not invested in like what's happening. Actually, there's not even much of anything happening, and it's very flashback heavy, but in a way of like it's meant to show the person he is now. But we're getting just bare flashbacks, so it's like we're not seeing how it translates to him now that much, if that makes sense.
Sucks, especially if you got 6 episodes. That's so stupid. Like, if you have like 6 episodes and you know it's going to be a very short thing, establish the character going forward because you have a very limited time, right? Like, instead of kind of being like, let's just do all this like flashback exposition rather than telling an actual story.
Oh, the flashbacks are all during about his time with Oda. So yeah, but we don't actually get flashbacks of how he ended up. This is weird, man. For me personally, with me, I'm very iffy when things are like flashback heavy in the first place. But it just seems so like it feels like you're supposed to be like his interactions with this lady. I won't go into the plot. The child, you're gonna see how his past has affected how he is interacting now, but then most of it is the past, and what happens in the present is kind of just like, oh, he's black. says the man, that says the woman that turns into a bear. Yeah, no, but yeah, it's fine. But I mean, Hassan, you might watch and take something to a different way. But me, it gave me like Champloo / Cannon Busters vibes, but worse than Champloo. I don't want to sully Champloo, Samurai Champloo's name. Not saying it's bad so far. I'm only 2 episodes in, but it and I think Ram was telling me the same guy that produced Cannon Busters produced this.
He wrote Cannon Busters.
Well, yeah. The same guy that wrote. Did he write this as well?
No, it was a different guy, but he did direct this. So,
there is a weird vibe of. I don't know what's going on here, but just like, oh, that's happening now.
I just find it very strange because it has all the elements of a story. And I guess when I finish watching it, I'll be able to pinpoint what is missing. You know, when like you're watching something and you're like, okay, yeah, cool. You've got like the world context and you've got like kind of like Cannon Busters where there were things that you need in it to make a story. But at the same time, I was like, I'm not getting the story there. I'm not getting anything. Like yeah. Things are just happening. I don't understand. But I do understand. I just.
It reminds me of, I mean, I don't think you guys have played. It reminds me of Neo, the game. It's like, reminds me of the Neo cutscenes. Yeah.
Yes. But I totally agree with you.
They all link and they all connect and there's a story here, but I don't care. I don't care, but I'm just like, I feel like such a just spectator of just like watching this on the street, but I'm not being entertained.
It gives me the vibes of like sometimes when I'm watching a play that I'm not really enjoying that much and I'm just there. And do you ever like space out and you're like, I'm watching these people talking and they're saying stuff.
Yes. What did they just say?
And they're just,
this is how I was feeling about Neo. Like this is exactly how I was feeling about Neo. Like the first time I played it, I thought I'd like skipped something important.
Yeah.
I legit went back and went to YouTube to find the cutscenes because I was like, am I missing something? Am I missing something of vital import?
Yeah, but it's just that thing of like when stakes are not created properly, you just tune out and then you tune back in and you're like, oh, how did we get here? That's what. But anyway, I don't want to talk too bad on it because I mean, I haven't heard great things, but I'm only 2 episodes in. So let me just. But right now it's fine for me. But I'm still in Godzilla mode, so. but yeah, let's move on to the main event. I wish I had the soundbite so I don't have to say Invincible. I could just play the opening bit. Yeah.
The blood splatter.
Yeah.
I spat a bit on my screen. Sorry.
So Invincible finished after 8 episodes. It's so sad. We lost Falcon and we lost Invincible within like a couple weeks.
Mondays is my new thing because Tokyo Revengers and Tier and Turn.
Kind of to catch up on those. But yeah, so we're going to give our thoughts, review it, you know, the season as a whole, talk about some of our episodes and some of the characters as we do. I feel like we spoke a little bit about Invincible in a previous episode, so I won't go too much into background story. But as everyone knows, it is on Amazon Prime. It is based on a comic book of the same name, which is written by Robert Kirkman. And just to bear in mind, this book was written, I believe, in 2003 or two, like a long time ago off the top of my head. I just think that's quite interesting seeing as it still feels kind of fresh in what it does in the superhero genre. But yeah, interestingly, there is actually a live action movie that is being produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. And also interestingly, they are both executive producers on the Amazon series. So I just thought I was quite interested in that.
I mean, Seth Rogen is really on a producing hat because I'm pretty sure he produces The Boys as well.
Him and Seth and Evan both produce The Boys as well. So maybe this is their thing. I'm interested about the film, but we'll maybe talk about that a bit later. Another interesting fact I found was that it was composed by a John Paisano. I apologize if I butchered that name. But what I found interesting about him is he's actually worked on a lot of different projects. So in terms of films, I believe he was composed on the Maze Runner series, All Eyes on Me. In terms of television, he composed for Daredevil, The Defenders, obviously Invincibles. I'm only naming the ones I'm familiar with, guys. So if anyone's like, you've done this too, whatever. Video games, he was he worked on Mass Effect Andromeda, Gran Turismo, Detroit Become Human, and Spider-Man, and Spider-Man Miles Morales as well. So it's quite, and I think he actually won a BAFTA for best music in Miles Morales Spider-Man.
He's really got some chops then. Yeah. And it makes sense. Like, the music in this is phenomenal.
Oh, actually, just to randomly go back to Yasuke, the music is really good. Really, really, really good. Flying Lotus is Flying Lotus. Yeah,
10 out of 10. I'm really sold.
It's like, it's really good sound to sound. Sorry about that. I just randomly remembered that. And lastly, it has been greenlit for a season 2 and a season 3 already. I think they announced that on the same day that the last episode aired. So yeah, we're going to be getting a lot more Invincible, which I am not going to say no to. So we'll start off with a little bit of our non-spoiler thoughts. I don't know if any of you want to take the buck first.
Sure, I'll jump in.
I'm sorry, I saw that off
the corner of my eye. Go for it.
No, I've lost what I was gonna say.
I just think it's neat.
I just think it's cool. It's nice. No, I'm joking. It's more than
it's nice.
Nice. Yeah, no, I thought by now that I'd somehow get bored of the superhero genre. But no, I think what was so good about, I couldn't help but compare it to The Boys a lot, because I feel like naturally you just would, because it's kind of like handling similar issues. But I think that in having kind of like Mark be the main character as like this young kind of teenage boy, it takes you on that journey of like the kind of psychology behind being a superhero on both sides of the spectrum a lot better, because I think you kind of see it through his eyes at the very beginning, where it's like, wow, this is like super cool, and then it goes left. And I think that the pacing was really interesting and really good. I don't really have anything bad to say about it, just that you should watch it. And it was cool, and all the characters are really well fleshed out. I think that I love, even though I don't think it was as much of an ensemble piece as other things, it did a really good job of like just kind of each and every character had some kind of like stakes. I could easily like, okay, basically my thing for like what makes a good character or a good ensemble piece is that you should be able to write a fan fiction about it, because there's enough information for you to be able to like,
that sounds like a personal bias.
There's like enough information for you to be able to actually know the character. And I feel like I could write a fan fiction about, I don't write fan fiction
anymore.
I wrote one fan fiction when I was 11 years old. I feel like I could write a fanfic about every single character in this. And I think also it did a really good job of, I think my issue with The Boys was like in season 2, I think a lot of the tension dropped, and that was for various reasons. But I think that in this, I don't know, like sometimes I was watching and my palms were literally sweating, and I was just like so anxious because of like the fear of God was like in me deeply. Like, I don't know. I think it did a really good job of just making you invested. I feel like I rambled there, but basically my thoughts are just go watch it if you haven't, or watch it again.
I agree.
Same. It is really, really, really good. It made me kind of question my relationship with the protagonist, because it's like very much like a world eater, where I'm like, do I just like seeing the protagonist being like abused or be like way out of their depth? Because like, what does that say about me? Like,
it says that you find him relatable.
No, I was happily watching him getting beat. Okay, it was beautiful.
Whoa.
I think we should keep you off the podcast.
No, listen. Mark should change his name to Vincible. That's the first thing. What it did, like the show really, like on the psychology side of it, like it really made you kind of understand like what it would be like to be a like newbie hero thrust in these unbelievably terrifying and kind of dangerous situations, and not just instantly be good. Like the first episode is like a masterclass of like escalation and kind of like like disillusionment. Like there's so much of it where it's just Mark kind of being disillusioned by the reality of what his life is going to be, and it is so well handled.
He did a good job of making me not want to be a superhero. But mm-hmm. I've always said that, like, if I was going to be a superhero, I'd want, like, a power that's, like, a defensive thing, not enough. Because, like, what am I going to do with super strength except from getting in trouble somehow? You know? Like, I just want to be able to, like, I don't know, make money or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that. Yeah. I hear that.
You have to be able to fight, innit? You have to be able to hold your... I think that's what I kind of liked about Mark's journey, is he got murked so much. Like he just got murked left, right, and center. Like almost every encounter, he rarely came out of an encounter clean.
And he got murked internationally.
Yeah, literally. And this is someone who is a Viltrumite. And I guess there is like I really enjoyed the scaling. Hassan, are you done before I
Yeah. Go for it.
I mean, to be honest, I don't think you guys said anything. I'm not gonna add much more to that. Sorry guys, Josh is belling off my phone. Oh god, I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, I thought it was, again, you know, I thought the music was really good. Just like Ram, there's not really much like any much negativity I can really say. I thought the animation was really good, and I'm a bit iffy on like Western style animation sometimes, but it was really well done. The voice acting was phenomenal.
Mm.
Like it was just top class from everyone, and the character building was really good. Like I was invested except for Amber, which we'll probably get.
I was even invested in Amber.
I was a little bit mad at her though. She is whacker than whack.
No, I was a bit mad at her but then I kind of get her. I don't know.
No, she's really allowed to change her mind, but like if she was a superhero, she'd be Captain Flip Flop.
Yeah. Like but I really enjoyed. So yeah, I really enjoyed the sort of like power scaling. You know, I'm a bit of a power scaling guy. I really like when I can look at someone and logically deduce that person will kill that person. And that's probably factual in that world because the world has been built in a way that kind of makes sense. Mm. And I also felt like the stakes were really high. Again, like the way they subverted the fact of like any, I love any sort of entertainment where anyone can get it. I hate thinking that person's not gonna die because of plot armor.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done a good job of like really just making everyone seem very, very mortal and very, very fragile, even like the most, see, even down to like Omni-Man sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Like
even first episode.
You can see him getting worked. So you just have a good idea of how everything works, how everything gels together. Again, like Ram said, the pacing was just 0 to 100. And it was just nonstop full throw. I can think of maybe like one episode where I felt like it kind of dipped a little bit, but for the most part, it was quite, you know, it just all the way to the end, it was just high pace. And unlike Falcon and WandaVision, which I'd say might have missed the landing a bit, I think this was just... It just the last episode was all mad.
I'm still thinking about the last episode, and I watched it on the day it released. It's just so good.
But also the memes haven't helped, so it's been on.
Oh my god! the memes have been A+.
So it's just been really good, really entertaining, and it walked a good line of kind of, you know, when we're seeing Mark that still showing us that kind of sincere heroism that we like to see, but then paralleling it with like that dark, harsh reality kind of subversion that we like. I think one of my kind of gripes with The Boys is that the boys sometimes just makes you feel like everyone is shit. Like the not just everyone, the whole world, every single thing, like the plants are shit somehow. Like,
yes.
That's the vibe of the boys. And even the boys are shit. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, what crap do you want to eat? Whereas this very much felt like, you know, there's even down to the Guardians, like as whack as that new roster was, like they try.
Listen.
Freaking Bakugo, not Bakugo. What's his name? I've been calling him Bakugo.
His name is Bakugo. Rex.
Yeah. Even he grew on me in the end.
I've been watching it with people the whole time, and every episode I'm like, can Rex die this episode? Like every episode, like can someone just work in this episode, please?
I do think you're right though. He did grow on me because I really hate him at the beginning. But let's move into spoilers, and I guess we'll talk about characters and any moments you guys specifically want to talk about. I guess we can start with the man himself, Mr. Mark Grayson. His name really jars me because he looks like Nightwing.
Yeah, he looks like Dick Grayson.
It's so jarring.
It's his cousin.
It looks like him. His suit is kind of like Nightwing's suit, like
black and blue.
Yeah, he has a black and blue variant as well. He does later on, I think, in the comic. I don't know, but the Grayson thing threw me off. But I mean, we said it a little bit before. Like, I feel like he was almost just like a, I don't want to say perfect teenager, but he was a teenager, and a well done teenager, should I say.
Also, I feel like because Steven Yeun voiced him, that made me love him more for some strange reason, because I just really like him. But what was I gonna say? It gives me like the same kind of reason why we like Spider-Man, for example, that he's just so relatable and you can see everything that he's kind of going through. Everything he does is very understandable, and I don't know, he was a good, I don't know. I just love him.
Yeah, no, he was like the audience surrogate and the protagonist. And it was like that weird kind of amalgamation of both, which was just so engrossing. It was so good.
There was a level of sincerity about him. I think there's one thing that I know, like Superman is, hot topic of debate, you know, whether he's relevant, whether he's actually cool or not. But one thing I've always liked is that kind of virtue of him being able to destroy everything, but he doesn't really fault, and they don't even do too much storylines of him falling into darkness. It's usually like if he's been controlled or something. I kind of feel like Mark has that, there's like a heroic bone, almost like when Walker pulled the truck, if you know what I mean, like that sense of like heroism and just wanting to save people and do the right thing. I really like that about Mark. Like, he hasn't, not that I can think of really, like he hasn't once been like, I'm powerful, I'm gonna abuse this power that I have. Do you know what I mean?
He kind of had a moment early on with his mom when she's he needs to go to bed, and he's like,
oh yeah, me. Yeah, but that was very
he quickly kind of went, oh no, I'm being a dick, and like that was a moment of growth. That was really good.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think that's what's so endearing about his character as well, that he's just kind of like, he's very much like a well-raised child, and like you can just see that in everything that he does. And I think that's what makes his like relationship between him and his mom so endearing as well, because you can see a lot of the values that she's instilled in him. does not like, that he's completely taken to heart, that even in the last episode, like he refuses to let go of that because that's what he truly lives by. I love him.
Can I just, that the line when he's just been like beat to like within an inch of his life,
don't say it.
My god, that broke my heart, where he just like looks up, like he's like, all these people are gonna die before you die, like they're all just specs to your like your life expectancy. He's like, who are you gonna have when they're gone? He's like, I would have had you. It's like, oh,
dad.
Oh, my soul. Yeah, like,
listen, when Omni Man, I don't know. When he flew away crying, I didn't know how to feel.
I laughed. I'm not going to lie. I was just so like overwhelmed. I was like, come on, man. You're going to cry now after all of this?
Do you know what makes me laugh about Omnima? So, like, obviously, I'd been posting about Invincibles on Instagram, and then one of my friends was like, is it weird that I find him really attractive? And I was like, have you watched the show? And she was like, no. And I was like, go watch it. She hasn't taken it back, you know. She was like, yeah, I mean, except from the last episode, like, he was still, like, a good husband and a good father. And I was like,
to what? To his pet. He looked after his pets. So he kept
him. That's what I literally said to her. She's like, yeah, but. And I was like, girl,
I mean,
I'm just like, no, you need to go to horny jail.
Yeah, it's a cartoon, babe. But let's get on to Omni-Man. I mean, the thing that you have to, I'm not gonna like back it. Yeah, I'm not gonna back him in any capacity. But I think you like his people is and the way they are like is something that you must consider. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. He's like. I mean, I don't know if I said this on the pod, if I said this to him like off air about just people thinking that there's a way of living in society. And if you see another way of society, it might seem alien and wrong. I'm not saying is right, but it's just that thing of when you're raised the way you see other people, like would he have ever acted another way is the point I'm trying to make. That's literally in his people's blood to kind of like go and take the that what I'm saying is him being raised by, you know, in a land where they kill each other, they just like to only the strongest survive. Like, is he not just doing what he's supposed to be doing?
But that's what makes him so scary, because it's like you would have thought that he, especially that last bit when he said like, yeah, she's more like a pet. I was like, oh my God, because it's like, you would have thought that. I think a lot of people kind of think, well, like, okay, even if someone has like a different point of view from me, like we can, I don't know how to phrase this without
sounding. Find a common ground.
Yeah, or like, you know, we can change it. Like when someone has something like problematic, but sometimes there are some people that you can't like that is them and that is it. And I think that was kind of shocking to see for me personally, because I do think that like I am kind of the mindset that you can like change people, or like, you know, that you can talk someone. It's kind of like if we were talking about like some kind of like a racist, and like obviously I'm not out here trying to like make racist. I mean, I am, but I'm not gonna be like going up to like a KKK member and trying to like deprogram them. But I think we're so used to thinking that that can happen, and not seeing that happen at all, and seeing that he, even after all his like time on earth and the fact that he has a kid, and at one point he literally says to Mark, it's fine, like I can start all over again, I can have another kid, was like that was part of the shock. Because you were like we're just not really used to seeing it to that extent. And I think also like these days we do try on screen to like kind of humanize bad guys a little bit, and I'm not saying that's wrong at all, but I think that not seeing like him going from being someone that we were kind of like not sympathetic, but like Mark, we were kind of looking for reasons why he would have done that, and then him just like not
was he though,
like, I don't know, like I didn't think was he what
I was you looking for reasons?
No, we weren't really, but I kind of was like, well, why would he do it? Why?
I was curious.
Like, I don't know. There was like a little bit of, I don't know, doubt. What I'm trying to say is like, it's just, that part of the shock was not seeing, like, seeing a bad guy that you can't deep. I mean, I guess he flew off, so he obviously.
I mean, that's the thing. It was how, but that's kind of what I was getting at a little bit. Like, it's not, to him, it's not evil, it's
just how things are.
It's business, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I do think when he was saying that stuff he was saying to Mark, he didn't like mean it. I think the way he Omni-Man was raised, I think he looked at his son and he was like, yeah, he might die soon or whatever, but then obviously when he's found out he's Viltrumite, that's kind of changed things a little bit, if you know what I mean. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like I'm an Omni-Man apologist. I'm not.
I am an Omni-Man apologist.
But I just think it's interesting to think about how, like he like he's just, it's just business to him. And I'm very curious to see what he's gonna do when he comes back, because
can I jump in?
Yeah, go on.
Like there's it's not business, it's the right thing in his mind.
It's
so much worse than someone who's like, I'm doing this because I want some resources or I want some money or I want some like financial gain or something, greedy, right? He in his mind thinks this is the right thing to do, like he's a crusader.
Yeah.
And that's horrifying. Yeah. And this is just one Viltrumite when they are legion.
Yeah, that's the scary thing.
I'm so glad Viltrumites don't exist. I mean, they probably do, but please don't come to this planet.
But I think that's what makes these things so scary, because it's not like this is a revenge or this, that. Exactly what you said, Hassan. This is just how their planet operates, and there's something scary about that. Like, it's not like they're just gonna come and just put in that shift. Like, you are nothing to them. They don't even see you. It's just expansion.
They're conquistadors with superpowers. Like, that's the mindset, which is like you can argue with someone who has an opposing view. If someone thinks that they are an adult and you're a child and they're saving you, they're never gonna listen to you.
Yeah.
100%. And if they have all the power, there's nothing that you can do to physically stop them.
Yeah.
That's the wildest part of all of that for me.
Yeah, that's like, what I was trying to say earlier. That's what made it shocking. Like, it's not.
I do want to see I want to see the other Viltrumites, because like I would like to see like a diverse kind of like character set, if you know what I mean. Like, some of them that would be more for the Empire or whatever, and some of them are just like flying around.
There's probably a Rhino out there somewhere. I feel like Omni-Man might be Rhino, because he cried when he left, and I feel like
leave Rhino alone. No, like, leave him Rhino. Alone. Oh my god, he's leave Rhino. Him alone. You did you, if he oh poor guy. He's on the ropes, he needs a therapist. He does. But yes,
worst part is you're not saying she's wrong.
Exactly.
Rhino is as bad as he, well, is anyone bad or good in Titan?
Still not saying no.
You just want to give him a hug, man. That's all I'm going to say about Rhino. He just needs help. But yeah, I will say it was very scary when he was interrogating Mark's friend. I forget his name now.
Oh my god,
William.
William. Yeah. Hey, William. Where's Mark? Just in the car, like looking.
Oh my god.
You see when people put their hand as a driver, when someone is being intimidated to you and they've put their hand on, like they're looking in your car. I'm telling you, that's sweating situations, you know, like that's like
it's not itchy.
Anytime he was on screen though, I was so scared. Like, it gave me Homelander season one vibes, not so much season two, like where you're just like tense all the time, especially since he would do that thing with his face where he'd be like
unimpressed, normal,
but then he'd just do that little like
yeah.
And I'd be like, like, what's he? I was so scared for Debbie. I'm surprised she's not dead.
I feel like he could be scarier than Homelander.
No, Homelander's, he is scarier than Homelander's. No, I meant that as in season one, it was the same kind of.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
He's definitely 100% more scary, but it was that. Like, I think that was the first time that I've been really uneasy when I've seen a character come on screen, like the whole time.
Cartoon character as well. They did a good job of that. Omni-Man was a very. He was a force every time he was there. But let's move on from him anyway. Let's go on to the Guardians of the Globe.
Which ones?
I won't mention the legacy ones. But they were cool. Shout out to all the Walking Dead family. Shout out to Mortal. shout out to Sonequa. That's Bay. And the other Walking Dead guys. I don't know if you know that all of the original guys were like actors from The Walking Dead. I think all
so
of them.
So good. It's so good.
Yeah. I wish they were in the show more. We'll talk about the new guys. I mean, we've already said Rex grew on us. Are we saying that? Are we in?
No, you two are saying that.
Wait, what?
Okay. Hassan doesn't like Rex.
No, bro. Like, I like him more than I like Robot, but like that's
you don't
that's
like Robot. You don't like Robot.
I said Rex grew on me. He's not my favorite, but he grew.
No, I'm saying Robot is the worst, objectively the worst.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's a bit. He's strange.
Yeah,
but
he's
like,
a pedophile.
Yeah,
he's how
very
we,
odd. Like, no, I did, because I remember Levi, I literally said to you, like, it's really weird that he's like 30. But then I was like, I know that she's technically 20 something, but it's still, and he's seeing them as this thing, but it's still very.
He built a child body to make it okay.
That is, I mean, I wouldn't say to make it okay, because technically it would be okay. I think the fact that he might find himself attracted to her when she looks like a child is the thing that's suspicious.
All of it.
But again, like Ram said, it's the thing of like, technically he's a 30-year-old in a child's body and she's a 25-year-old in a child's body. So it's just weird though. It is weird. I just thought he was kind of funny. He was just such a, like, he was a chief. Like, he was just a little bit gangster sometimes. And it, like, even the way he batted up, well, he tried to bat up the Mauler twins, just made me laugh. Like, I don't know.
I think what was more fun, was fun for me.
He weren't my favorite, don't get twisted. Sorry,
what was more funny for me was just that when he became a child, he just was not what I was expecting him to be, because like he just suddenly was so, like, you know when he like just goes up to them and he's just like expecting no one to address the fact that he's like stolen someone else's DNA and has turned into a child, and like he's just completely, but I thought that was quite endearing actually, because it kind of showed that like he's been a robot, or been perceived as a robot so long that kind of like there is a little part of him that's lost that human side of him that he did obviously have, because he was the actual human, but at the same time it's like he's just kind of lost some kind of social functioning. Like, that's not normal. I thought, like, okay. And everyone's like, no,
he was,
he just, I, rock up like,
I didn't hate bloop, him,
it's me,
he,
robot.
That's in his human body, but it was a little bit weird. But you know, he wasn't my worst. I think actually, now I think about it, I think Rex was probably my worst.
No, mine's Duplicate. I just.
I mean, I feel like she just didn't do anything really.
Yeah, that's why she's my worst. And also, she had an affair with Rex. Like,
yeah, that was trash. Duplicate's down there. She's down there. She's down there right below Rex.
Okay, no, can we put them all on joint bottom? All three of them.
No, Duplicate's a bit worse for me.
I mean, there's not really much to say about. I mean, Rex, I think he just got a little bit less annoying as he time went on.
If Bakugo actually, is his name Bakugo?
Yeah, oh. Katchan.
I was like, why are you calling Rex back ago?
because he is back ago and they have the same power. So
they literally are the same. Character.
But he's like, if back ago actually just stopped shouting and actually became a character, I think that's why I like Rex, because I'm kind of like, well, at least he like progresses and you start to understand his like. Well, you don't start to understand, but we kind of start to tolerate or like see the charm where sometimes his annoyingness was actually useful at times, whereas Bakugo just, it's not, just stop.
Mm.
I mean, Bakugo is also 15 years old, so I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
let's stick to Invincible, guys. Come on.
I just want to say shout out Zachary Quinto as the robot. I wonder if he's still going to stay on the show now that he's like, the clone is Jason. I think it's Jason doing both of the voices. It sounded like it. It didn't sound. I have to listen back. I don't know. And shout out Gillian Jacobs, who was Adam Eve. I only know her from Community.
But
she's been in something else I can't think of right now. And shout out Kari Payton, who was
the whole Black's cast.
Yeah. No, but those are my people. And yeah, as Black Samson, I like Black Samson. And he got his powers back.
I was very pleased about that.
Black Samson's back. Black Lightning again.
I like that one. I just want to say though, how whack this roster was compared to
the
original members.
You got like an immortal, you've got Wonder Woman, you've got like a Martian Manhunter type.
Like, it was just so, even that episode, right? It was just so like the robot's like, yeah, let's just make a new Guardians. That whole application process seemed so shoddy to me. Like,
a little bit of it was like, if you were in the old team, you can come onto the team.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, you guys don't have anybody stronger? No?
Yeah, like, in the whole world.
Because I was like, you guys were like struggling just as the team. So, like, if they had been like exceptional as the, what were they called? I keep wanting to call people things like Teen Titans.
The Guardians. Yeah. Oh, the teen. I saw that they're just the teen team.
Yeah, the, yeah. Well, yeah, but like if they were exceptional then like fair enough, but they weren't. So it was a bit was like, yeah.
I just want to say, like, the way that, like, they couldn't even beat Mark.
Yeah.
And everyone beats Mark. Yeah. That's alarm bells. Like,
yeah. I mean, I did like that that episode with Titan when they fought the machine, the auto-tune guy.
Oh my god.
That was
Daft Punk, you mean?
Yeah. I think that episode was a best showcase of what I was saying before about, like, understanding people's strength. Yeah. That Tiger Man, I forget his name. Oh my days. I cannot wait for him to come back, to be honest with you. Like,
what I was going to say there about what I really enjoyed about the Guardians of the Globe there was, I can't speak today, was kind of seeing them, it's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, but seeing them slowly come together as an actual team, and kind of the organic way that they showed that coming together. Because I do think that's something that, I think superhero movies and films do address that a little bit, but it's never really like over a time scale, because most of the time it's in the movie, but condense, kind of seeing like how personal, because it's difficult to make a team work just like in everyday life, whether you're doing like a project, let alone like fighting to save people. And you do kind of have to be on the same, like you do kind of have to consider people's different like moral standings as well as like their powers or whatever. So I thought that was interesting.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Kick-Ass 2.
Mm.
With the way that the people then were kind of coming together, but it felt very like hodgepodge, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like just this guy, like, I have a bag of nails in it. but obviously with the added thing of like us seeing them actually grow into something, because it's quite an interesting little side. Like I would not mind watching a Guardians of the Globe show, for example, you know.
Yeah. I would like to see more of Eve there, we'll say that, because I feel like I never really saw her, like, she, you know how you guys were talking about like mortality and just people getting beaten, I never really saw Eve getting smacked around that much. I want to see it, but I just,
but she also wasn't part of the, she's also not part of them, so.
She dipped first, man.
Yeah, no, she
I did like her. I mean, we can move on to, let's talk about Eve and Amber. Because I feel like I haven't read past where the show ended, but I feel like Invincible is going to end up with Adam Eve.
I mean, that is obvious,
yeah. What kind of annoyed me, not annoyed me, Amber just annoyed me, and I'm just going to get that like flat out. Like, she was just like, I don't know. At first, she just seemed like Mark could just do whatever he wanted, and she would have just been like, I'm sad, but okay. Like, you just kiss her and she'll be like, it just seemed very easy to just kind of for her to be over it, if you get what I'm saying. Mm. Not saying that she needed to be like all going mad in that, yeah, but she was very much like you said earlier, Hassan, about being flippy floppy. She very much like, oh, this is the last time, or okay, I love you, and then turns around and says that she knew he was a hero the whole time. I have issues with that.
That was the one part that made me mad, because if he had like turned around and said, yeah, I'm invincible, then I would have been like, yeah, you're forgiven. But I do think at the same time that she did kind of, she was almost, and this is why I wish that they used William a little bit more too, that she was kind of like the more like high school side that kind of keeps Mark grounded, and to, obviously she did keep forgiving him, but to a certain degree did kind of keep him accountable for like, he's got other stuff, like he's got life stuff to do, not just superhero stuff. So I think that's why I didn't really mind her that much.
I don't feel like it didn't feel like he really took that on board though. And she left him because during that, with the uni thing, when Rick got turned into a cyborg.
Yeah.
But she knew he was invincible. Like, that didn't make any sense to me. You just, like, where did you go?
More that he didn't tell her.
But she saw what he was doing though.
Hold on. She acted like he ran off. Like she didn't act like he was a hero.
Also, we don't know when she figured it out though.
The one thing that, like,
months ago.
Yeah. One thing
look,
that
like, I don't mind
me.
Amber that much, though. That's why
she was jarring. And it jarred me more because it was Zazie. Sorry, I just wanted to front end. I was upset because it was Zazie Beetz.
No, it's fine. It's like the thing that bothered me is the passive aggression. Like, I don't like passive aggressive characters, and it's just like, tell him.
Sit down and talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, instead of just being shady and then.
Yeah.
I mean, she is also a teenager.
Yeah, that's but like. True. I get it, I'm just like, it's not my cup of tea for characters, right? That scene though did make no sense, like no sense whatsoever.
It was just it was a bit Amber, you guys like her more than me. Eve, I liked Eve. I did like the fact that she even like through her interaction with Amber, the way it kind of like made her go on and be like, you know what, I want to be a humanitarian myself. Mm-hmm. if Amber, who has no power, is here doing what she can with her capabilities in the soup kitchen, why can't I use my actual powers and go and save people the way I can without being inhibited? I kind of like that. Eve was fine.
That was a good like kind of impetus. Like, it's like the opposite to fridging, I guess. Mm. Like in a certain sense, it's the I don't think they utilize Eve enough in this series, and I really hope they either. Like they bring her in like way more.
Yeah, because, we
like,
need she's more. Interesting. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna wrap up these character ones. I'm gonna talk quickly about the Mauler twins, and then we can talk about moments just for time's reasons.
Yeah. We need
to. I love the Mauler twins. I just love the whole juxtaposition of them. I love the conversations between them. I love the fact that they're like super scientists or whatever they are, but just don't come across like it at all. And they're so
I love their soundtracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was just a level of smoothness to the way they were carried themselves, but also to the way they did science stuff. If that makes sense. Like I just love them, man. Them two were just cracking me up every time they're on screen. I love how they just how they're implemented throughout the season, if you know what I mean, and how they're kind of somehow central to a lot of things that go on, but behind the scenes kind of somehow. I don't know. I love them all, the twins. Love them.
They were the Blues Brothers, that like kind of comedy duo thing. Like,
yeah, no, I agree. Ram?
Sorry, I'm still really annoyed about the thought that I had about Amber, because not Amber, about Eve, it's just gone.
So it might come back. And I'm going to lastly say, Cecil.
I feel like we have to talk about Debbie though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, we do.
I thought I put her on here. All right, we can talk about Debbie. Shout out Cecil and shout out Detective Darkblood. All right, let's talk about Debbie, guys. Let's talk about Debbie. I feel like you guys got. I'm just gonna say, because I feel like I have the least to say about Debbie. I liked what they did with her as terms of like she didn't feel like useless. She didn't feel bland. She you kind of felt that she wasn't there just because Mark needed to be born from someone. Like she was her own character. You could see what effect she even had on Nolan, and the effect that she had on Mark. She was cool. I liked the fact that she was a developed character, if you know what I mean. At first it did seem like she was going to be a bit like, okay, like everything. Oh, that's okay. She was a bit like that, but like I like how she responded to like the conspiracy. I liked how she was handled in the series.
Yeah, I was gonna say she was like the moral compass for a lot of like moments, like when, for example, Mark was like explaining to him and her and Nolan like
about Titan.
Yeah, and how he wanted to help, and you know, she, even though she, you know, Nolan had been very strong, I like the way that she kind of, I feel like she's given me tips for how I'm going to parent, because she didn't tell him that he should do, but she did kind of point out that, you know, like you have the power to help people. So, you know, take that into consideration. I think the way that she parented Mark was, I don't know, she was just very good at kind of giving him like guidance without it coming across as like
it's show not tell,
like preachy. Yeah, like it was very much you could just see the influence that she had on Mark, just in his general like character of like, okay, this, like I said before, like of someone who's been well raised. And I think also like just following her through the journey of just seeing who her husband actually is was so heartbreaking. And I think that's what made everything, like, I think that's what gave us a lot of like the emotional distress that happened in the last episode, because it's not just like Mark seeing his father being like, you know, kind of like there was like the superhero element of like, obviously that is Mark's dad, but also like someone who he's admired as someone who like saves the world, doesn't actually give a shit about human life at all. And then you also had on the other side, like this woman who has like taught this man everything that he knows about Earth and has like shared her life with him. And he turns around and just says that she is a pet. Like, I think kind of bookending all the sides of Nolan with Mark and also with Debbie's character was just like what made it so much more emotionally devastating.
I agree.
And also what made him so much more terrifying, because it's like, but you've like literally lived with this woman for like how many ever years, and like you thought this all along. Like, I think that's one of the things that was just blowing my mind, that I was just like, he's been living a lie, but he's just been living it so well that even his own wife doesn't know. And it's like, I don't know, just all of a sudden she seems so like fragile as well, because you're just thinking like, how many moments must he have wanted to like, I don't know, snap her neck? Like, did he want to snap her neck, or just was like, I don't know, it was just, yeah, very
intense. I mean, it's like almost like, if can you imagine your dad like on a similar level of that, and you never knew, like close your eyes right now and think about it.
I literally would know, I would have no idea how to just
exactly.
Oh my god.
And the show did do a good job of like, this isn't just like people seeing their hero as not a hero anymore, it's this person seeing his dad as a killer and this woman seeing her husband as a killer and a murderer. And it's a whole new dimension, isn't it, really, to look at. I mean, is there anything else you want to talk about, because I feel like we should wrap it up? Any particular moments that stood out briefly?
I loved the Titan episode a lot.
That was my favorite episode, I think.
I think just like all the different layers to it. I think also just obviously Titan in the end turned out to be not that great of a dude, but at the same time, you kind of see the circumstances that might have led him there. I think it was quite a similar thing of like Nolan as well, where you're kind of wondering like, was he like this the whole time, or like, did he become?
You know, I think
with a certain, like, it was complicated to think.
With Titan, also, he's just opportunist, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But I think also like kind of addressing, and I guess this is because I read that Bumblebee and what's his name? Malcolm? Whatever, that other Histories of DC thing.
What?
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, but Malcolm. Yeah. Malcolm and Bumblebee. Yeah.
And sorry. So like after
I didn't know we'd move to DC. I was like, huh?
No, sorry. No, but I was just saying like, because you know, in that you kind of follow like, why don't these heroes, we see these heroes like saving aliens and saving, but like they don't actually deal with certain like systemic problems like racism. And so it was kind of interesting to see that side of things as well. And like, you know, Titan schooling Mark on like, well, okay, like you easily will just fly off to outer space, but what about like your next door, like the neighborhood that's just down the block? Why don't you do anything? And I think also that relationship, that was also the moment where Eve kind of like, you know, had her little epiphany as well. It just really like fleshed out the world a lot more. So I really enjoyed that episode. And just everyone getting beat up was mad.
I mean, that was gnarly. And it was somehow in three acts. Yeah. I'm like, I've never been treated to a fight scene that is in three acts.
Also just Omni Man just like,
standing there watching, yeah,
and then just boom, like what the hell?
That was all mad.
What the hell?
Hassan, any notable moments?
Two. The whole Hellboy, the fat Hellboy arc was brilliant.
I did want to talk about it.
It was so good.
Yeah,
like the detective noir drama kind of thing, yeah, happening on the side was brilliant, right? And my other favorite thing was Bobby Hill being a secret agent. Like, do you know Cecil's right-hand man?
Yeah.
He's
grown up Bobby Hill. Like, Google a picture of Bobby Hill right now.
Who's like, that? Is that King of the Hill guy?
Yeah, yeah, King of the Hill son. Bobby Hill. Yes. Yes, yeah, yes, 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 yes. He's Bobby Hill. Like, and like it, every time he came on screen, I was just like, can someone please kill him? Because I can't focus on the show because Bobby Hill's a secret agent. Like,
Bobby Gridangle.
I feel like that might have been on purpose, you know, because it was cheese similar.
Any other, you said two, Hassan?
Yeah, so the scene with when they were banishing Hellboy was like one of my favorite scenes of the show. Oh, because what it did is it solidified the knowledge of Cecil kind of understanding what the stakes really are. Like, because like a lot of like the show is kind of encased in like smaller bubbles.
Yeah. So like Dark Blood was very comic-y. The truth must come out.
Yes, yes, yes. Exactly. It's super cool. If like so the twins are in their arc to escape and to be supervillains, and there's all the kind of threads from them, like capturing them or keeping them contained. There's Eve and Mark and their whole school arc and that kind of stuff. But then seeing from this side where Cecil's kind of going like, oh no, we have no way to combat Omni-Man, but I can't tell him that. Do you know, and like, I can't let you tell him that.
Yeah. I loved like how in the last fight, he was just sending his little ships to try and back him up.
Like, and everything was just funny. Very much like, we can't stop him, but this will store him. And then like Omni-Man's just like, nope.
But it felt so like, oh, Mark, like mm-hmm. I don't know, like Cecil sending his little planes to help Mark. It was like, oh my guy, come on, man.
Also, Cecil like actually going to face Omni-Man with Baller.
Yeah.
Baller.
Oh god, when his tie. My heart.
Yeah, that is a lot. All right, so let's rate it out of 10.
9.
8 out of 10.
You say 8, Hassan.
No, I said 9.5. No,
I know you said 9.5, but Hassan said that really fast. I think I'm going to go right in the middle and say 9 out of 10. I really enjoyed it.
You know what? I'm gonna come up 9.
It was really good, and it was tight, and I think that's the main thing. It wasn't just a fun time. It was well written, well acted, well animated. The music was good, the fight scenes were good, and I was in two minds, but especially the way it ended, it was quite interesting how they were able to have the climax at the beginning of the episode and the rest of the episode was almost setting up for season 2 already. Mm. And I liked that montage of all the things, like the Martians, the Titan gang, you know, Viltrumite's coming back and all the little robots that that Cecil's building. I just loved the way it was like, this is what you're getting next season. I really love that. And his, I'm going to finish school. Like, I don't know. I just really enjoyed that, the way it ended.
I love the Urath guy. Sorry.
Oh, Alan. Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, Alan. There we go.
Interestingly, Seth Rogen's character. Yeah. Alan the Alien. But yeah, 9.5 out of 10. Go watch it, guys. It's really good.
I'm almost tempted to say it might be my favorite show of the year already.
It's up there. I would say it surpassed The Boys for that category.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What else have I watched this year? I
don't know. Yes, okay. No, I'm joking. but yeah, that's an episode, guys. Before we go, what have you guys been doing? Anything special? Anything you want to tell the nerds about?
I've been watching loads of anime. I watched Odd Taxi. Parasite, which I was supposed to finish ages ago.
Parasite's really good.
Tokyo Revengers, To Your Eternity, which is also really good. I read Orange, which both of you need to read. It is very heartbreaking. It's a bit triggery, but like it's excellent. What else have I been doing? I've been playing Celeste. Yeah. I have got past many levels.
Go ramp.
And I've been playing Legend of Zelda, The Champion's Ballad, which I'm nearly finished. I've actually been really on my geek stuff, even though I've been really busy.
You have. Hassan?
I've kind of just been... I've been doing like a lot of like more of the same kind of stuff. The new season of Apex just dropped. I've been reading a lot. Like, I've been reading some Brent Weeks. I've been kind of playing like a lot of like old school games because there's the Mass Effect trilogy coming out next week.
Oh, I don't want to even think about it.
I'm mad hyped for that, but I'm like, just
I'm gonna play it.
Mm. I'm like detoxing from like RPGs for a while, so I can like really get stuck in.
It's a lot. I might have to let Ram have the PS5 for a bit. We'll see how much work I get done with Returnal. But yeah, well, talking of what I'm doing, I've just been playing a hell of a lot of Returnal. Obviously, it came out over the weekend or last weekend by the time this comes out. And I mean, we spoke about it a little bit at the beginning of the episode. It is just really fun. Funnily enough, we were talking about not watching the trailers. This is a game that you might have to do a little bit of background research before you start playing. That being said, I'm happy that PlayStation put a lot of marketing by a game that's as niche as this. I think it's quite interesting, especially seeing as like Microsoft released The Medium, which is like another quite niche, not standard AAA game. Do you know what I mean? So I like new IPs and I like gamey games, if you know what I mean. I like not games that are just trying to be like encompassing to as many people as possible. So yeah. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm really enjoying how much they lent into what they wanted to do, the studio that I can't remember the name right now.
Oh god, it's gonna really bother me. I know who it is as well, because like this game is so far from their wheelhouse, it's insane. Oh damn it.
That's all right. Google Housemarque. That's
the one.
Housemarque. So yeah, it's a good game, man. Atmosphere, gameplay, it's a top quality. Like this, like I've been waiting for a PS5 game. Even we're talking about Mass Effect, that's still an old game, but like I've been waiting for a new game that uses the triggers, the vibrations, the graphics, the HDR, the 60 frames. It's doing that. Do you know what I mean? And it's about time. So yeah, it's good stuff. Anyone that managed to get a PS5, go pick up Returnal, man. Pick up Returnal. Because you're going to be playing that or bloody Demon Souls. But yeah, that's me. And I think that's an episode. Yeah. Would the lovely Ram like to tell us where the people can find us?
You can find us on The Nerd Alternative on Instagram, The Nerd Alternative without an E after the N on Twitter and Reddit. And you can listen to this podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts,
Anchor,
Chaser, Anchor. Please do leave us a review and a rating, because we like to hear feedback.
Yeah. Yes, do that. And with that, I'm going to get out of here and play some Returnal.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Someone play Pokemon Snap and tell me about it. Please. I love Pokemon Snap. But yeah, until next time, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
You know what that sound means? It's another episode of Game for a Movie, where we ask, are you game for a movie?
Tell me, Andre.
There's no special features on that goddamn DVD, alright? Oh,
wow. For Hansel and Gretel?
Hansel and Gretel.
You have the DVD Hansel and Gretel.
She basically has sex with it, somehow. Foreplay.
Yes.
She's chair foreplay.
They knocked it out of the park, which is why it's my number 3.
So. Oh! Yes. I mean, I wouldn't be in it, because this movie doesn't have women. But, you know, that's
it has one.
Right.
It has one.
You would have three lines of dialogue.
No, it has more than three.
Oh. Okay. So I'm actually going to get, like, I earn my 4 sentences of dialogue rather than, like, here, have a paycheck. You just stood there on the screen. You're a sexy lamp.
Favorite form.
Oh.
Anyway, we're not.
Dark Phoenix 2.
No.
Because they really hate each other, so we get to enjoy some wonderful comedic scenes of them hating each other so much that they get into physical altercations that include her biting ex-detective Phillips's dick.
Okay.
But we don't.
Okay.
In a hot tub.
I know all of those words were English, but the way you constructed them, I'm lost.
I'm not following the arrangement of them very well.
For those who haven't rated us or liked or given us a review, don't say that we haven't given you anything of value after listening to this podcast. You now know the difference between an R-rated dick and an NC-17 X-rated dick. You're welcome.
Thank you guys for listening to Game for a Movie, where we ask, are you game for a movie? We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.